Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Wanted to do the tight end valuations here in terms of impact after the draft. So we'll look at guys who were helped by this. I think we start with Mark Andrews. And Baltimore traded Marquise Brown, did little to replace him in the passing game. It's a chance Baltimore can address the position with a guy like Will Fuller, with a guy like Jarvis Landry. Maybe there's a trade out there. I think all those things are possible. But the loss of Brown really is a massive thing. Brown saw 139 targets, 10th most of the position in 2021. And Andrews was second at the position at the tight end position in targets in 2021. Saw 149. I think Kelsey had 158, something like that. There's a very, very real and open chance that Andrews leads the position by a wide margin. And they did. They were two guys that were way out in front of the pack in terms of their volume. So Andrews is one I think he's a big time guy. And the other thing you have to think about that is, like, all right, if you're gonna sort of slot him in for that, how do you value him versus Pitts? If you don't think Pitts is going to be a big-time volume guy, if Pitts is going to be 105, 110 target guy, and you're going to get Andrews basically a couple targets per game better, that's a big gap to answer. That becomes a very big difference in terms of some of your production stuff. And I think the difference in targets could result in him being closer to something like a win difference, depending on the format. And you're like, man, it's a lot to try and catch up for later on down the line. He's really got to be the nuts and the solution Pitts there. So I'll be interested to see the interchange between them at present. Keep, trade, cut, which is what we use. You know, there's some real draft stuff we use. We also use keep, trade, cut as a resource. Keep, trade, cut has Pitts ahead of Andrews by about a tier. It's Pitts a tier break, Andrews tier break, and then Kelsey, Kittle, Hockenson, Waller tier break. So I'd be interested in exploring that trading market for sure between the two of them, because I think you could probably get a decent add-on, and that's good, right? That should be good. David Njoku's next up. The Browns added David Bell in the third round of the NFL draft, but they have Amari Cooper as well. But ultimately, it's Njoku who's the most experienced guy, the most established guy with the team, which is wild when you think about how he – I don't think this has been according to plan for them with Njoku over multiple, at this point, front offices. But some interesting events have led him to basically be the most established guy on their roster. They placed the franchise tag on him, and it was discussed about potentially signing a long-term contract over the summer. I think it's like a July 15th deadline they got to sign that by. So we'll see. It seems like there's progress in that direction. And he's tight end 17 in keep, trade, cut. You figure of profiles that could beat that, you need a couple of things. You either need really efficient guy or you need high volume guy, and I think he's one of those types that could be a surprisingly high volume guy. So I think at tight end 17, he's certainly worth the value, especially in some of these premium formats where you can play him at the flex. I think he can be one that's going to be flex viable for you this year, and maybe warrants even going higher in keep, trade, cut. I've seen him go in like the late tight end one. I think there's some other options in that range that I'd probably take over him. But you can make a good argument. You know, like if you could make a good argument for him basically after Goddard, Schultz, Knox, Gesicki, Kmet, Fant, McBride, Alberto, Irv Smith, like you could make an argument of him over a lot of those guys. So he'll be an interesting watch, and we'll see what his value actually moves in drafts here going forward. And in trade markets as well. I think he could be a guy that gets talked up over the offseason. Cole Kmet is under is under contract. It's a new front office, new coaching staff that drafted him. And there's a lot of uncertainty in his valuation. He has a great opportunity. Wide receiver one in Darnell Mooney, 134 targets last year, which is 14th in the league. And the Browns let Allen Robinson go. They let Jimmy Graham go. And they did little to backfill Byron Pringle, Equanimeous St. Brown. And then they brought in Velus Jones. Komet ranked 11th in targets at the tight end position in 2021 and didn't score a touchdown. So he's on the wide receiver two landscape. You figure that volume could go up and the effectiveness on that volume just with a little bit of touchdown puck luck could happen. And all of a sudden he's well in that inside that line of tight end one. The difference, the question you always have to ask yourself is what's the difference between tight end 16 and tight end 8? It's not that big of a difference. But if you want to wait into the mid tight end two range when selecting someone, adding a guy like Komet, I think, is a high floor type option. I wonder what the ceiling is, but I do think when healthy, he's going to see a decent chunk of that volume. Next up is Robert Tonyan. The loss of Devontae Adams is real. And Tanyan's like the most established guy with Rodgers to this point of the offseason with Green Bay. So we'll be interested to see how they work in this position. But the team addressed wide receiver by trading up for Christian Watson, but didn't take a tight end. And the uncertainty, you got Alan Lazard basically at wide receiver one, Christian Watson 2-3, depending on how you want to slot him. The uncertainty could really break in Tanyan's favor. It's the history of production in the Green Bay offense available at tight end three costs. So really interested there on him. I think he's going to get one that's probably going to get talked up over the offseason as well. All right, last here is Rob Gronkowski. And I think he's a winner out of all this because they could have went Trey McBride. They went with Cade Otton on day three. He's a good player, but I don't think there's been anything in this offseason that's really impacted Gronkowski and said, hey, listen, like there's no reason to bring him back. He's fully capable of still playing, and bringing him back is a reasonable is still reasonable. I tend to think with these guys, especially with a guy like Gronkowski who has played a long time, he knows really what he's doing. It's him and Brady are really a match for each other in terms of what they're going to what they're going to offer, right? They know their each other's tendencies. They know where they're going to be and all that stuff. I think that Gronkowski's waiting to sign so he doesn't have to do offseason work. That's really my angle on this. I think he's basically got an agreement in place. It's sort of my hunch. And he's going to come back. He's going to play with Tampa, but he just doesn't want to do it while he's required to play in mini camps and OTAs and all that stuff, right? I just think he'd rather wait, sign the contract right before free agency, or right before a training camp, and move on there. So that's sort of my hunch, and nothing has really dissuaded me. They haven't addressed the tight end position in free agency or anything like that. Nothing has really dissuaded me from thinking that way, so. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for the tight ends that benefited. I'll have one more episode, tight ends that were hurt by this. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.